I want to thank Pastor Liverpool for affording me this opportunity to speak on the first Sabbath of the new year of 2021. And so I just want to say thank you, Pastor. Also, I want to thank all of you, all those who prayed for me while I was in the hospital almost 2 weeks ago. For those of you who may not have known, roughly about 2 weeks ago, I got up to go to work. I think it was a Monday. Wasn't feeling the greatest, blurred little vision, couldn't see. But anyway, as I got dressed to go to work, I went on to work, and the day progressed. I felt a little bit better. And I actually had a doctor's appointment scheduled later that day. And after I got off work, I got to the doctor, and he gave me results of tests from my previous visit and told me everything checked out good. My blood work was good and everything was good, but I still wasn't feeling 100%. So I requested at that time that he do an EKG. I asked him to do one, and he did. And in doing so, he came back and said, well, the results is pretty good, but there's a slight glitch on here that I'm not too comfortable with, so I want you to go see a heart specialist. But he didn't order me to go to the ER at the time. He just said, I want you to go see a heart specialist. So I didn't think too much of it. I left, took my wife shopping, and later that evening, I told her what took place, and why did I do that? She went ballistic. She told me I should have never went to work. I should have went right to the ER. And so after a little bit of debating, I was getting ready to go to bed. And she stayed on me. And so at about midnight, I got up. We got up and got dressed and went to the ER. So after I got into the ER, they checked me in. For those of you who've been to the ER as of late with these COVID restrictions, once you get checked in, whoever's with you, your loved one, your wife, cannot go past that waiting area. And so from that point on, I was there on my own. So I had to call my brother to come pick my wife, Kathy, up and take her back home. And make a long story short, after they admitted me, they gave me two baby aspirins, started doing a bunch of tests, EKG, blood work. They did a lot of blood work. And then after about 4 hours, I was never hooked to an IV or anything, but after about 4 hours, they came in and told me, they said, well, Mr. Moore, your blood pressure is elevated and your blood enzyme, something to that effect, is elevated. I said, well, what does all that mean? They said, well, we don't know just yet, but these type of symptoms could lead to a heart attack or a stroke. And so I've been praying before I left home all that day anyway, so I could start praying even more. And so a few more hours went by, and then they told me they were going to admit me. And after that, I was there for about 3 days with a bunch of more tests done, more EKGs, more blood work. Heart doctor came in the following day, and she explained to me what she was going to do, a procedure go through my wrist to go up to through my arteries to my heart to make sure there's no blockage there. And she did that the following day. That procedure went well. Then they had me do a scan on my head, scan on my neck. So I did it, went through a battery of tests. And after all the tests, after 2 days, I believe it was, I didn't hear anything. But, you know, I was feeling better, and they told me my enzyme levels had came back to normal and blood pressure came back to down. And so I felt pretty good about it. And in this process, in my 3 days there, I had three different roommates on the floor. They moved me from the ER to the critical care floor for heart patients. And the only thing that I was hooked up to was a heart monitor for my 3 day stay. And as I indicated, I had three roommates, and I sort of gonna liken this message to my stay in the hospital. It was basically a total of four of us. And each day I had a different roommate. First roommate, he was an older gentleman, a Vietnam veteran. He was there because his blood pressure was so low that he, I don't know how long he was in there. He was there before I got there, but they kept him for at least a week. And he got very frustrated and wanted to leave and wanted to be transferred to another hospital to be where his wife works. And eventually after he threatened to leave, they eventually let him go, I guess after they said his blood pressure had gotten stable. And then my second roommate came in. He was a younger man. He had had a heart ablation procedure done. And then the third one, another young guy, he had three stents put in. And so after they came and told me the results of all my tests, they told me that I had no blockage, that I did not have a heart attack, and I did not have a stroke. And so I just thank God for seeing me through. As I said, all four of us was on the critical care floor for heart patients. We all had very different issues. Each of us had conditions from, like I said, low blood to ablation to heart to three stents. And when the Holy Spirit led me to this message, I couldn't help but think of how God kept me, how he healed me, and how he delivered me through my stay there. In addition to our personal conditions, we also had to be mindful that we had COVID patients on our floor. So I'm just thankful today for being here today and being able to speak to you with a portion of good health. Amen. So thank God for seeing me through. Thank God for blessing me and my family through and being able to come into a new year. So again, I just want to thank all of you who sent out prayers for me, my wife, my lovely wife, Kathy, who keeps me on the straight and narrow path, my mom, all my brothers and sisters and church family. I just want to say thank you again for all of your prayers and thoughts. Amen. I would like to turn your attention to the gospel according to Mark. We'll be looking at Mark 4, verses 3 through 20, with emphasis on Mark 4, 12, the parable of the sower. The title of this message is, Where is Your Seed? Where is your seed? Father in heaven, send your Holy Spirit right now to speak your word through me. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen. I would like to start by giving some background and sort of a setting, if you will. This message, I looked at it as a message of introspection for myself and yourself. You know, when you're in the hospital, you have time to think about yourself, your life, what's really important to you. And for those 3 days, I had a lot of time to really meditate and think on things about myself, my health, my family, and what's really important. And so this message, again, is a message of introspection, sort of taking inventory of yourself. You looking in the mirror, the image of you looking back. And that's what I like in this message, too. And so I'd like to start by giving a little background. In Mark 4, 1 and 2, I'm going to start there. And Jesus is preparing to speak. And Mark 4, 1 says, And Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake. While all the people were along the shore at the water's edge, he taught them many things by parables. And he said, and in his teaching said, and this is where we'll pick it up from in this message from verse 3. But before we go into that, I want you to look at verse 10, Mark 4, 10. I wanted you to see what Jesus told his disciples right before right after he spoke to the large crowd, listen to what Jesus tells his disciples in verse 10. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. And he told them, "The secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables." Now, why did Jesus say that to his disciples and those? So basically what he's saying to you and I, if you are a Christian and you study the Bible, this is what he's telling you. The kingdom of God is given to you. But for those on the outside, he had to speak to them in parables so they may be able to understand, to make it as simple as possible for them to understand what he was preaching and teaching them. Amen? And so we will look at each parable, making 4 points. We will break out each one as Jesus explains the meaning of each parable. In Mark 4, 3 through 8, Jesus tells each parable. And then in Mark 4, 14 through 20, Jesus gives the meaning or the answer to each parable. Amen? And so let us take a close look at each one of those. Let me start by asking, where is your seed? Most of us would probably say we are the last seed or the last parable that fell on good ground, producing 30, 60, or even 100 times. But I submit to you that we can move from one parable to another throughout life. Life can throw many challenging circumstances our way that can move you from one parable to the next. So we will take a closer look at the word of the Lord and see how this applies to us. I will be using the NIV Bible for this message, but you could follow along with your preferred translation. Amen. So let's take a look at the first parable. Jesus speaking now. He says in verse 3, "Listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed, and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up." Many of you who work in a garden or plant grass seeds know that when you plant your seeds, if you don't cover them completely with dirt, the birds will come and eat them up. And so Jesus gives us his first parable this way for the people to grasp his point. Amen. Now listen to his answer to the first parable. Verse 14, "The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes away the word that was sown in them." And so again, I ask the question, where is your seed today? Right now? Are you struggling with something today? Be it finances, credit card debt, maybe having a short temper. I know for myself personally, since this pandemic started, my patience has gotten short. I find myself at work being short at times with people, with customers, for no apparent reason. And so I start praying throughout the day, asking the Lord, "Lord, give me more patience to be able to deal with these people as I go throughout my work day." And so again, I ask you, where is your seed? They may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Mark 4, 12 and 4, 9. Let's move to the second parable. In verse 5, Jesus is speaking again. He says, "Some fell on rocky ground where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. And so again, we ask, where is your seed today, right now? What are you struggling with today? Are you struggling with substance abuse? Are you struggling with power at work? Many join a church but never really get fully grounded or take root. Or some left church because someone slighted them or treated them badly. We all have feelings, but I submit to you, no man or woman or even a pastor should keep you from the God who wakes us up in the morning. No man or woman or pastor have a heaven or a hell to put you in. So get your seed back and put it on good ground. Now let's look at the answer that Jesus gives to the second parable. Others, like seed sown on rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it. Verse 16. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. So again, I ask, where is your seed today? They may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Where is your seed today, right now? There is nothing new under the sun as it pertains to the Word of God. Some of you might ask, well, why do you say that, Brother Speaker? Well, I'm glad you asked. Turn with me briefly to Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. Isaiah 6, verse 9 and 10. And just to give a little background here, Isaiah, let me just put a pen here for a second, let you know that the Holy Spirit is working today. Our Sabbath school lesson was in Isaiah today. And so when I heard Elder Mark teaching on Isaiah, it gave me more confidence this morning to be able to speak this word. And so I just thank God for that, the Holy Spirit working. But in Mark 6, we're going to look at verses 9 and 10. But before we go there, let me just give a little background. Isaiah has just been given his commission to be a prophet for God. And he was so out of sorts about it. He said, I just seen the king. I have unclean lips. And a seraphim flew over to him that had just taken a live coal in his hand and touched Isaiah on his mouth. And then the seraphim told him, the seraphim told him that your guilt is taken away and your sins are atoned for. And so God was speaking and he said, he heard a voice saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And Isaiah speaking said, here I am, send me. And so look what God tells him to tell the children of Israel, starting in verses 9. Be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people callous. What is callous? Indifferent, hard heart. Make their ears dull and close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed. And remember what I said earlier, we were going to put emphasis on verse 12. This is a similar version of verse 12 and Mark 4:12. And so what I like to point here is that God spoke this to Isaiah around the 8th century. That's over 1,000 years ago. And now he's telling us today in Mark 4:12, where is your seed today, right now? Amen. Let's look at the third parable, looking at verse 7. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. And again, I ask, where is your seed today? What are you struggling with today? Are you struggling with tithing in church? Or maybe you are in good shape, but you struggle with flirting in church or flirting on the job. Again, where is your seed today? And then let's look at the answer that Jesus gave to this, the third parable. Still others, in verse 18, like seed sown among thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things come in and choke the word and make it unfruitful. They may be ever hearing, I'm sorry, they may be ever seeing but never perceiving, and ever hearing but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Where is your seed today, right now? And then Jesus speaking into going to the fourth and final parable in this text. In verse 8, he says, still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. And then Jesus answers the fourth parable. He says, other seed in verse 20, others like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. And so I ask the question, is your seed in good soil? Are you producing fruit in your home, in your church, on your job, or in your community? Remember, Jesus is coming back soon, whether you believe it or not, or whether you are ready or not. Jesus' return is imminent. He's coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle. We can't get ready in and of ourselves without having Jesus as our mediator, as our Lord and Savior. Works is not enough. Works without faith is impossible to please God. Jesus as our Savior and Protector, what a comforting promise to know and accept. Amen. And finally, in closing, I would like to offer this appeal. If you do not know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, ask him right now, right where you are. Say, Jesus, I repent of my sins. I will turn from my wrongdoing. Come into my heart, Jesus, and save me. Do you believe that? I believe it. When you tell Jesus that he is faithful and just to save you. Then join a local church, preaching and teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, and get baptized in water in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen and amen. I am reminded of a songwriter's song. I'm going to paraphrase just a couple verses of the lyrics. It says, "There is a blessing in this word today. Are you ready? Get ready. There is healing in this word today. Are you ready? Get ready." I thank you for this opportunity. I thank our pastor, and I thank you for listening. God bless you. Amen and amen.